Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Bugger Off Bug Bomb, buggeroffbomb.com. Order yours now before you go on summer vacation, especially if you're dreading the mosquitoes and bug bites this time of year. Bugger Off Bug Repellent really, really works, and it smells clean and fresh and won't stain your clothes. It's DEET-free, it's kind to humans in the environment, and it contains two key ingredients for fighting pesky bugs and other creepy crawlies. Eucalyptus and citronella is in there. It also contains non-GMO soybean oil, beeswax, thyme, rosemary, cedarwood, geranium, basil, and essential oil. Keeps the bugs away and goes great on a sandwich. Just $10.95 at buggeroffbomb.com. Don't put it on your sandwiches. I swear to God. That's put it on your skin. That's where it belongs. Just $10.95 at buggeroffbomb.com. But use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your entire order. Support this show by supporting Bugger Off Bomb and stay bug free all summer long. That's buggeroffbomb.com or just click the link on the podcast page. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Shit, my neck is killing. I got cancer I've had for years. I've been working with Lash, you know, trying to find a cure.
Did you ever work for the CIA?
You make it sound like some remote fucking experience in ancient history. Man, you don't leave the agency. Once you're in, they got you for life.
Shaw?
Shaw's an untouchable, highest clearance. Shaw, Oswald, the Cubans, all agency.
What about Ruby?
Jack was a pimp. He was a bag man for the Dallas mob. He used to run guns to Castro when he was still on our side. We almost had Castro with us, then we tried to whack him. Everybody's flipping sides all the time. It's fun and games, man. Fun and games.
What about the mob, Dave? How do they figure in this?
Shit, the agency, too, man. CIA and the mafia working together. Trying to whack out the beard. Mutual interest. They've been doing it for years. It's more of this than you could dream. Well, check out something called Mongoose. Operation Mongoose.
Mongoose?
Government, Pentagon stuff. They're in charge. But who the fuck pulls whose chain? Who the fuck knows? Oh, what a deadly web we weave when we practice the deceit.
And who killed the president?
Oh, man, why don't you fucking stop it? Shit! This is too fucking big for you, you know that? This is... Who did the president? Who killed Ken? Fuck, man! It's a mystery! It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma! The fucking shooters don't even know! Don't you get it? Fuck, man! I can't keep talking like this! You're gonna fucking kill me! I'm gonna fucking die!
Bob Seska!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
The Bob Seska Show.
The inspiration for Donald Trump's eyebrows right around 1992. Joe Pesci as David Ferry in the movie JFK. A movie fueled by cocaine and how great it was. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, July 18, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest soap ever. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Day 910 of the Trump crisis, day 73 of the constitutional crisis, 471 days until the 2020 presidential election. And I'm going on vacation next week, but before I do, it's time for the Goth Ninja! Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, sexyliberal.com, also from-the-bunker.com, and also David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Links in the description. Where do we begin? Oh, yeah, Jody, we didn't have you last week.
No.
Because you were out, studying red hats in the wild? Is that what we're to understand?
It's something like that. No, I was in... I was in Mount Rushmore area, basically. I was in Palmer Gulch.
Red Hat territory is what that is.
Yes, it is. And they were out in the wild.
Yeah.
And like I told you earlier, I saw one of them, and he seemed like a pleasant enough fella.
Free range red hats.
Free range.
Is what you're saying. Yeah.
Free
yeah.
range.
Was there like a gaggle of CNN reporters all standing around taking notes, watching their mating yes. habits, trying to figure
New
out?
New York Times.
It was my first encounter because there is a guy in my neighborhood in 2016 that was like that.
Yeah.
He no longer wears his hat.
Now, what do they do? They shed their hats at a certain time of
I
year,
don't know.
And then the
perhaps
hat grows back.
Perhaps he's finally embarrassed.
Yeah, it's actually when there are any signs of activity from the embarrassment sector of the brain, the hat just kind of falls off.
Right.
It's like antler fuzz.
I see. Well, I thought the hat became more secure as the embarrassment.
No,
factor.
It depends on why the person did that initial vote.
Okay.
And
I see.
If they've learned since then. And there's a guy who I find incredibly pleasant who drives one of those scooters, you know, so he can't really walk well. In fact, I had to help him back to his scooter about a year ago.
Wait, they can operate machinery. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
They can
use... This is in my neighborhood. This isn't even out in their, you know, their normal habitat.
Yeah. Interesting.
And this guy, he's on a scooter. And he's an elderly gentleman. And I'm not kidding. He can't really walk. And I see him all the time. And
yeah.
A few months ago, when Adam Schiff did that amazing speech mm-hmm. about, and so I had my I Stand with Adam Schiff shirt on.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure that was popular.
So as I'm walking, he stopped and made it a point to tell Adam it's over.
So they can actually, they can communicate. This is amazing.
I'm like, are you dating him?
Did he do it like Coco the gorilla, like with sign language? Is that how they communicate?
No, actually, and I feel bad for him because, you know, he needs medical care and he's voting against his best interests when it comes to that. And so I just look at him and I'm like, I'm not even going to engage you because you won't hear me.
Nice.
It was very weird. I mean, I felt a little surge of anger just because, like, the 2015 and 2016 ones, they didn't really know what was going to happen, per se.
Yeah, that's right.
And now we do. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, really, you're still wearing that?
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit of its time, isn't it? But I don't think they care.
It's frightening. I mean, last night when they were chanting, send her back.
Well, and that's a good way to start at this point with that, whatever the fuck that was. Actually, you know what? Before we dig into...
That's their unofficial 2020 slogan. Bank on it.
Bank on it. I thought you were going to say the official 2020 slogan was, whatever the fuck that was. Donald Trump 2020, whatever the fuck that was.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that was, the remix.
Just a couple of bits of business here before we kick off the actual horror show that is American politics these days. I am on vacation next week, first of all. It's an actual week off. It's my first week off away from doing shows since the holidays, which kind of explains some things about my mood generally. So I desperately need that time off. But look, yesterday's interview show was just incredible. Charlie Pierce.
With my boyfriend.
The great Charlie Pierce was here from the Stephanie Miller Show, Esquire, and of course NPR. And boy, was he good. I want to be Charlie mm-hmm. Pierce when I grow up, including the Hawaiian shirts. I want to wear the Hawaiian shirts.
Yep.
Oh, God, no, please.
I've got an entire shipment of Charlie Pierce signature Hawaiian shirts on the way. So look out, T-Rex.
Yeah, I'm going to intercept those and burn them all and fire them into the sun.
Come on, aloha.
I mean, really, a Hawaiian shirt. I just had this discussion with someone yesterday. I was like, please don't tell my lesbian friends I said this, but... There is absolutely nothing redeemable about Hawaii.
Then don't go to Hawaii and watch the news.
Yeah.
Just don't watch the news.
That was the amazing thing about living in Hawaii is no one wears suits and ties in Hawaii. Obviously, the heat is going to prevent that a little bit. But at the same time, the tradition for business people in Hawaii is to just wear aloha shirts, to wear Hawaiian shirts in Hawaii. That's the business attire, shirts.
I've never seen a nice one. I mean, they all look like garbage. They all look like Bobby Flay.
Why do you hate Hawaii so much, T-Rex?
Why do you hate Hawaii?
Well, it's begin with the fact that I hate a short sleeve dress shirt, but this is like one step further. It's a short sleeve dress shirt made of an unnatural fabric, a hideous print.
Don't ever get between T-Rex and Apollo 13 on television, because all of the short sleeve dress shirts in Apollo 13, man, your head's going to explode, T-Rex.
Pocket protectors included.
That's right.
There are moments when you can get away with that look, but you have to do the whole 60s thing from head to foot.
That's true. You know? That's true.
It's like,
I know. I've tried to pull off that look. It's not a good look. I'm always mistaken for like the manager at Sam Goody's or something like that. That's what, that's what happens when I wear a short sleeve dress shirt.
People hand me their car keys to the valet.
Also one.
You know, I did that too. Sorry.
Well, I'm just about to plug Stephanie Miller, and we're trying to
just
get her.
Quickly, I did that to Chris Penn in Los Angeles.
You try to plug Chris Penn? Is that what you're saying?
No, I thought he was the valet.
Oh,
and here I
see.
Was handing him my keys, and my friend,
and so
I
went
just like, you know, like.
Now, see, you interrupted me plugging Stephanie Miller now, so I'm going to have to get back to plugging Stephanie Miller, and I assure you this is going to be a thing on tomorrow's Stephanie Miller show, the fact that I said I'm going to plug Stephanie Miller. In all seriousness, you have to vote for Stephanie Miller for the Radio Hall of Fame. She is nominated. Stephanie. Wow. Here's the slogan. I'm going to throw this out there to see if it sticks to the wall. Vote for Stephanie and make all your wildest dreams come true. That is the Stephanie Miller Radio Hall of Fame campaign slogan. Stephanie Miller nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. And from right now through July 28th, listeners nationwide can vote for Steph by texting the message 70 to 877-370-VOTE. That's 8683. That's 877. They really made this complicated to talk about on the radio.
I have it.
Send the message 70 to 877-370-VOTE. That's 8683. One vote is permitted per cell phone number. Votes may also be received at radiovote.com, where everyone can cast one vote per email address. The outcome of the listener vote counts as one vote among the Radio Hall of Fame nominating committee votes, and the winner will be determined by the listener vote combined with the votes from the committee. We need your help, so start voting now and tell all your friends to vote too. Thanks to everyone. Again, vote for Stephanie and make all your wildest dreams come true. And there you go. Thank you very much. Okay.
Use your Pornhub
you
email
text
address.
70, 70, right?
Yes.
Why are we sending my age in to promote her?
See, now I was just waiting for that. I was setting that up, but it legitimately is. You text 70 to
70, yeah.
Yeah.
I just did it.
To a very complicated.
I'd already done an email. Now I did my phone.
Right.
So I'm good.
877-370-8683. That's 877-370-VOTE. And you text the number 70. Okay, so next we get to this. You know, any day now, and you know what? I'm legitimately predicting this. Any day now, they're just going to start blurting the N-word at these Trump rallies.
I agree.
All the joking about the red hats, you know, the free-range red hats in the wild aside, boy, they were in rare form last night, weren't they?
They were. Mm-hmm.
In case you missed it, this happened during Trump's rally in Greenville, North Carolina yesterday.
Representative Ilhan Omar. Mm-hmm. Of a really great state. I almost won for the first time in decades and decades, Minnesota. Great state.
It is like, you know, again, it's WWE. It is a wrestling audience. That's what they're there for. And I love how he praises himself for almost winning for the first time in history. That's like a thing,
I almost
too.
Thought he was going to complete a train of thought, but no, no, no.
No, he never
that
does.
That fork in the track is never late. Just like
that's right. You got to bump him. You got to like elbow him in the side of the head to get him to skip
finish
over
a
the
thought.
Skip. Yeah, exactly. Like you would, like if you get a skip in your record player. See, records kids were these things that we used to put on turntables and they would put a needle on it and it runs
What's
through the groove.
What's a turntable, Bob? We don't know.
No,
what
vinyl
those
is
are.
Hip again, guys. All
it
the,
is hip. It's
all
true.
The millennials love vinyl.
You know what? I've got a gigantic vinyl. Okay, this is going to get off on a tangent here. Let's get back to, Donald Trump.
I am bitter. I gave away my vinyl. I let it go because it was like, okay, I'll never need this again. There won't be any turntable anymore. Wow. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
and it's,
no.
My virgin vinyl pressing of Let It Bleed by the Stones.
No.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you? Where's your...
It was supposed to be obsolete.
I know. Where's all... No. But you're losing all of your hipster cred. All the hipsters listening are going to go, what is wrong with David Frey? Next thing we're going to hear is he threw out all his VHS tapes.
Well, you guys can start a drive, a vinyl donation drive of like Soft Cell and Depeche Mode and Bronski Beat Records.
Sure. Hey, can you tell everybody? I've got 1 foot in vacation. Today, that's where I am. That's where my head is. Let's
right,
get back
okay,
to
back to
yeah.
Okay, that's the state where I was
right.
born.
Let's get back to say, these extras from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Here, let's get into that a little bit. Oh boy, they really hate this person who they know nothing about.
All right. It's got a funny name.
Oh yeah, this is, you know what this is? This is someone getting ejected.
He gets home now to mommy, and he gets reprimanded, and that's the end. Sorry, mommy. Yeah. Sorry, mom.
What?
Yeah, that's
and obviously
that's someone. That's a protester getting ejected from the arena. By the way, Brad Parscale tweeted yesterday, there were 20,000 people in Greenville inside the arena for Trump's rally. Well, the thing only holds 8,000 people. So, sorry, idiots. And I swear to God, N-word any day now. Any day now. So, yeah, so there's a protester getting ejected, and he does this thing now where he says, go back home to mommy. You know, the guy with the biggest mommy issues in the world, Donald Trump. You know, ridiculing a protester for living in their mom's basement or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's his go-to thing. He's so original. He's such an original guy. Such a funny guy. Just hilarious. Endlessly funny.
Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
There we go. Send her back, Rick Channing. And he just let it go on and on and on.
Oh, he claims he started talking
straight
quickly. He claimed he had started talking immediately to stop it. And that's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah, that's what he said this morning in the Oval Office. Jonathan Carl asked him point blank, why didn't you stop them from doing that and saying that? And Trump went on and on about this obfuscating and making up excuses for himself. He said, I disagree with it, by the way. But it was quite a chant, and I felt a little bit badly about it. Well, I'm glad to know. Just a little bit badly about a chant where it's assumed that you can just deport an American citizen who also happens to be a member of Congress back to whatever. I don't know what they're talking about here. They're obviously talking about deportation, but I don't know if they thought this through all the way.
They didn't. They are garbage brain shit people.
Yeah. Well, Trump continued on in the Oval Office this morning. I was not happy with it. I disagree with it. I didn't say that. They did. Well, you know what's happening now. All the headlines are going around. Trump disavows send her back chant from rally last night. I mean, that's basically the headline we're seeing all over Twitter now. So it's going to be, oh, yeah, Trump doesn't have anything to do with this. I mean, how dare you even say that's not accurate to say that he's disavowing it. He's no longer responsible for what his people say, that he just allowed them to chant in a thing after going on and on about how anyone who doesn't have Oompa Loompa skin like him has to go back to wherever they came from as if they're not American citizens at all. These goddamn racists. And, you know, I want to be perfectly clear as to why it's bad I know in this day and age, we have to do this. We have to emphasize why it's bad for the president to be a racist.
I was just going to say, I think we need to go full on and call him a white nationalist, because that's what he is at this point. I mean, a racist is
white, like, supremacist.
You know, a guy sitting there in his armchair yelling at Fox News. But like, he is a white nationalist. He wants a white ethnostate. He is calling for the deportation of people of color who are citizens, not illegal immigrants, not asylum seekers, but actual U.S. citizens. So how much further, you know, is he going to march down this line?
Yeah.
Well, Mitch McConnell didn't even defend his wife the other day.
No, he didn't.
Well, they're making so much money.
But no, it was very interesting, because he was asked about, what if Donald Trump said to your wife, go home, and he well, she came here legally, and it's like, that's irrelevant. Yeah. She, I'm sure, has been yelled at as a child, you know, and has been told that specific phrase. He didn't even defend his own wife.
Nope. No, he didn't at all. And it doesn't even matter. I mean, he made the distinction. He said, oh, well, Elaine Chao is an American citizen.
So is Ilhan
so
Omar.
So every member of Congress is an American citizen.
Oh God, but he just put it out there that she isn't.
Right.
Like, it's gonna disseminate itself now through the right-wing misinformation network that she's, that Ilhan Omar isn't a citizen, and somehow she got elected to Congress, but that particular cognitive dissonance will never pop up in their heads, or, you know.
It doesn't matter, because they're just owning the libs. That's the purpose of all of this.
Right.
Obviously, they're letting their freak racist flag fly, and the fact is that you cannot have a president. And I want to be abundantly clear about this, because we always have to now reinforce why it's bad to be racist. It's like we have to reinforce why it's bad to be a fascist, because there are millions of people in this country, and most of them are sitting around in their underpants while jerking off to 4chan and Reddit, and they don't know what fascism is really like in execution. They didn't see World War II or the film footage of what went on during World War II. So they don't understand. They have no connection, visual connection. So, you know, we're just going to have to keep reaching up and burning ourselves on the stove before we figure this out. And so, you know, when it comes to a racist president, we have to make sure that we emphasize the fact that he has a natural ingrained bias against 1/4 of the American population. 1/4 of every American citizen in this country is subhuman. Is sub-citizen. They're not even worthy of being protected by the United States. You know, he went off this morning about Puerto Rico again, because the mayor of San Juan dared to say mean things about brittle, fragile Donald Trump with his brittle,
you guys,
fragile
I've
ego.
I've got to tell you what's happening in Puerto Rico, though. It's amazing. It's really inspiring, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, well, just real quick, what's happening there?
You remember when the hurricane had first hit and their governor was just like being like a meek little lapdog and saying to the president that he was doing a great. That guy's basically a Republican. He's the governor.
Mm-hmm.
He is the son of a beloved previous governor who actually turned out to be majorly corrupt, but they've conveniently edited that out, that particular part of the story. And he went into office, and Ben told me on election night, you know, this is bad. This isn't good. He was in a group chat with a bunch of his top aides, and they were slinging around anti-gay epithets, anti-woman epithets. They were talking with just bristling contempt about poor people. And it leaked.
Wow.
And one of the other Republican guys is like, well, you know, he's like, you've succeeded in uniting Puerto Rico.
And in fact,
they're calling for your resignation, and they are in the streets. He kept showing me pictures last night of just like aerial photographs of thousands and thousands of people, and they're all chanting and singing and dancing and calling for him to step down. You're calling him the frat boy.
Well, I mean, the same thing is happening, I believe, in Congress right now. I mean, because of Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump is doing more for the House Democrats than Nancy Pelosi could have ever done, as far as uniting the entire caucus, about getting the squad on board with the centrists and so on, and uniting that section of the Democratic Party, that the entire House of Representatives. And it actually makes Nancy Pelosi's job a little bit easier in order to get everyone voting in big blocks for important things. And so thank you, Donald Trump. But of course, Donald Trump always makes things worse for Donald Trump. And he thinks that somehow going after people like the mayor of San Juan or going after Ilhan Omar or any of the squad is going to somehow help him. And all it's going to do is secure about 25% of the voting population. The other 15 are now disavowing him. I mean, even Ben Shapiro was blasting Trump yesterday wow. about all of this stuff. So he's actually uniting.
I don't trust any of the conservatives when they get it only lasts about 5 minutes. And when
it comes
back down to civil court judge, you know, Supreme Court justices in like voting yeah. rights. And it, you know, I just,
well, you know, actually,
Ben
that's
Shapiro,
a,
you don't get a cookie.
There's a good example there, I think, for Democrats, where the criticism that Republicans usually levy against someone like Donald Trump is compartmentalized to that issue, where they right. don't actually disavow that particular politician, whether it's the president or Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan or whoever, Gohmert and all the rest of them. They don't actually say, well, I'm no longer supporting any of these people anymore because that one person said this about that one issue. Whereas on the Democratic side, we've got this much more fortified purity test where mm-hmm. if someone says something mm-hmm. that rubs us the wrong way, we say, fuck that person forever.
A purity test is one thing, but an ethical standard is entirely another. I mean, just the yeah. fact that they are completely morally bankrupt does not mean that we should forgive people for doing and committing acts of sexual assault. Or
I didn't say that at all. All I'm saying is on the Democratic side, we don't see Nancy Pelosi's not committing sexual assault, but yet people are seeing, you know, she says one thing the wrong way and looks at someone with a skunk eye and then suddenly, fuck Nancy Pelosi, impeach her now, get rid of Nancy Pelosi. Right. When it doesn't have to be that way, we can compartmentalize our criticism to whatever the thing was rather than categorically rejecting someone because they said one thing that we disagree with. And that's the only point I'm making. I'm not suggesting that we forgive Republicans for sexual assault or rape or being racist.
No, I'm talking about our side. Like, if you know, you're talking about when people talk about purity tests, sometimes I get flashbacks to the Al Franken thing.
Yeah.
However that really was and whatever really happened there, his team, I felt like, played it fairly badly.
Yeah.
He should never have resigned.
He should never have stepped down. I think that was a big mistake. I think he should have been.
It was so early, though. I think that's why he did it. Were it to happen now, there's no way he would step down. But it was so early in that, and the calls were so large, and everybody was really angry that there was no nuance.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. And I think if it were 6 months after that, anytime within 6 months after that, I don't think he would have resigned. It was just, it happened at that moment.
Yeah. He was at the crest of a wave when that occurred.
Exactly.
And I think that's part of the problem. I want to get back into some of the ramifications of last night's rally and some of the other things that came up around that. Jesse Waters, for example, said something horrible today with the giggling couch tumors on Fox and Friends. We've got that audio too. But before we dig into that, I got to talk about, before I go on vacation, I got to give one last plug here to Plexiderm, because Plexiderm is one of the most amazing products that I have ever been sent here as part of our block of advertisers on this show. And, you know, there are still lots of people who, when they get bags, under eye bags or things like that, their face is feeling puffy, they put hemorrhoid cream on their face, which is just a huge mistake. Is it, don't put hemorrhoid cream on your face unless, of course, you have hemorrhoids on your face. And if you've got hemorrhoids, you got hemorrhoids on your face, you've got a bigger problem.
That active ingredient out, by the way. That is a trick from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
and
they've removed
it. It doesn't work anymore.
Oh, it doesn't? I still thought it had some form of what is it, like almost like a decongestant that is in there, like a topical decongestant.
Shark's liver oil or something that ended up being like Cruel to Harvest. But the girl that, you know, I had a Plexiderm experience I was down in Atlanta like shopping, and the woman stopped me in the mall, and, you know, she's putting this stuff on. She did it first on one eye and then the other. Have you done this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, because it totally just like, it was just like... Like, no more eye bag on that side. But
it's amazing.
She was putting it on me. She's like, you know, you used to be able to do this with Preparation H, but it don't work no more.
She sounded like that.
Wow. She's not from Atlanta, clearly. I was like, where are you from? She's like, Long Island.
Yeah. But you'll attest to the fact that it actually worked, that it actually, your eye bags disappeared.
I did.
Yeah, and it was like in minutes. And that's the thing. I mean, there's other products that you see advertised on television, you see in the grocery store, in the pharmaceutical aisle, that are supposed to take away dark spots and things, all kinds of other skin treatments, that literally, they take months and months and months and months to actually work, if at all, but that's not the case with Plexiderm. It literally works in just a few minutes. The science behind Plexiderm is incredible with clinical studies to back it up. If you look older and tired because of crow's feet, wrinkles, under eye bags, you can look younger in just minutes with Plexiderm. See for yourself. Give it a try. Watch a real video with real people. See how fast crow's feet, wrinkles, and under eye bags vanish, disappear, gone. See those results are backed up also by Plexiderm's 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to tryplexiderm.com and use the coupon code SEXYLIBERAL for my discount. That's two words, SEXYLIBERAL, at tryplexiderm.com. That's tryplexiderm.com with the code SEXYLIBERAL, or just call 1-800-685-1292 and mention Sexy Liberal. Again, that's 1-800-685-1292. Mention Sexy Liberal, and we thank you.
Hey, this is Randy Rhodes, host of the Randy Rhodes After Hours podcast. If you love this episode, you're going to love the whole show. Every week we talk about everything that matters to you, from our future as a democracy to our existence on this here planet. Find it all at sexyliberal.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and anywhere and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Bob Seska Show. The Bob Seska Show.
This is a project called Central City, and the song is called Synchronicity. It's all instrumental stuff, but it's all like 80s synth pop, which just love. In fact, I've been listening to this song and going, you know, I'm going to need to freshen up my theme song in a little while. At some point
soon.
Yeah,
I'm going to do that too.
And I'm listening to this and I'm going, that's definitely in my musical wheelhouse. This might be a thing.
Okay. Oh my God, if that's your theme song, I totally see you in the Knight Rider car.
Well, if you look at the Indie Music Countdown logo now at iTunes, I mean Apple Podcasts is what they're calling it now. You gotta look at the Indie Music Countdown logo that I made. It screams out this.
Stranger Things.
Yes, I love it so much. It transports me right back to 1985. Okay, so let's see. Oh, by the way, submit your music, bobseska.com/music. We're looking for more indie bands here to play on the show. We've got an Indie Music Countdown coming up. It seems like we just did one. We've got another one coming up in the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. Trump said last night that AOC's name is too long for him to say. And that is a big fat lie, and I'll tell you why. The reason he won't say her whole name, he was calling her Cortez last night.
Oh, God.
He was just saying, I'm going to call her Cortez. And then the Red Hats, yay, Cortez, because it sounds foreign. The reason is because he can't pronounce her name. That's the real reason. Mm-hmm. It's not because it's too long.
If you were going to call someone with a Latin name, you call them by the first last name, because the second one is their like mom's maiden name.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean,
so
in the case of
say Ocasio, but of course, or you know, that's just too hard to pronounce.
And is he unaware of the acronym AOC? I guess he is. He's not aware of that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know that most people refer
too many
to her.
Letters.
Yeah, but it's an internet shorthand. And but he's the president, right? Terrifyingly enough, he is the president. So he has a responsibility to, you know, pronounce the names of members of Congress. Maybe that. But he can't even spell Al-Qaeda. So how can we possibly expect him to? Oh, my God. So, T-Rex, get your boxing gloves on. Or better yet, get your brass knuckles out. Because we're going to talk about Punch Me Face Jesse Waters, who has punchiest punch me face in the history of punch me faces. You know, in fact, I remember back in the day, Chez was always trying to get together like a GoFundMe. It was like a preemptive legal fund so that he could go up and punch Jesse Waters and then have a fund for his legal defense. That would inevitably have to occur afterwards. But Jesse Waters, with his punch me face and his weird, I mean, again, another guy. You know, I played the David Ferry thing at the top of the show from JFK, Joe Pesci's character. And I thought of that when I saw Donald Trump's tape with Jeffrey Epstein, which we're going to get to in here in just a second. But Jesse Waters is another one with David Ferry eyebrows. I don't know if you noticed that. He's got the big, the big swooping, like almost Joan Crawford, but thicker eyebrows going on. And
I'm too transfixed by the crazy sparkle. I mean, he looks, I look in his eyes and it looks like he is screaming even when his mouth is shut. And I just, I believe that in the deep, dark recesses of his dark, dark heart, he's into things that are so perverted they don't even have names. There's not even websites for it.
Yeah.
You know, and it just torments him.
Trump,
he's
too.
He's just a terrible person. Mm-hmm. No, Trump is like totally a normal, like, ugh. You know, just a normal kind of germophobic 10-year-old about sex.
Yeah. Well, he did have the spanking thing with a copy of Forbes magazine.
That wasn't really a BDSM scene.
Yeah, I guess not.
Though.
I guess not. That's kind of weak tea, isn't it? It's kind of...
Totally.
So Jesse Waters and the giggling couch tumors made some. Jesse Waters specifically made the racist crack about Ilhan Omar and the rest of the squad. He said this on Fox and Friends this morning. Where is that clip here? The giggling couch tumors just giggled like they always do. So there wasn't any additional add-ons from Steve Doocy or the rest of them. This is what happened this morning.
She's on the wall side, right in the back. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Welcome to Jackie's world.
Oh, you got me.
I really feel the squad is making us women look bad, and I know what I'd like to say to them, but I want to know what would you say to them if they were on the curvy couch today?
I'd grab my wallet first. oh. I'd invite them on Waters.
Fuck you!
Okay, yeah.
That was adorable.
Yeah.
They just seem nice.
All of the African Americans, anyone who has brown skin is going to try to steal his wallet. I'm telling you, he's just, I mean, they're all,
you know,
just minutes away.
School.
What I was just going to say, they're all minutes away from using the N-word or referring to them as darkies or some sort of thing from the past that they're just dying to do it. You can tell. And they're getting to the point now where, you know, the Lee Atwater, Pat Buchanan dog whistle thing is just like, oh, we're past that now. We're just going to come right out and say it.
This is more of an air raid siren.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is an air raid siren of racial hatred. That is exactly what it is. And, you know, I mean, in what universe does this stuff suddenly become acceptable again? It's fine. No problem. You can make all the racist jokes you want now on Fox News Channel. The president can ringlead on the whole thing and just stir everyone up and do it. And it's just like, yeah, well, he disavowed it. So I guess it's okay. So, and then he said yesterday, Trump on his way to North Carolina said this about Ilhan Omar. Again, a member of Congress. Mm-hmm. This is what he said. There's a lot of talk about the fact that she was married to her brother.
Oh!
What is that?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently this is a conspiracy theory, probably again in the dark anal cavities of, you know,
it's not like she's from Alabama. She's not from Alabama.
Right. She wasn't at Israeli last night.
Alabama is, of course, where you go.
I want to have sex with the half of you that ain't my sister.
I guess according to one member of Congress, a Republican said yesterday, or I don't know if he's a member of Congress now. I don't know who he is. I don't care. Said something to the effect of, well, I'm white and that's a color, so I'm a person of color.
Yeah, I saw that. Yesterday.
Yeah. And you know, Donald Trump's poll. try that again. 1 foot in vacation, the other foot is stepping down soon.
You've got senioritis. That's what you have, is senioritis.
Exactly.
So you've been accepted to your college of choice and you're done.
Oh my God, you have no idea.
Just tripped and went flying on the verbal sidewalk of life.
The second half of my senior year of high school, I went from being in the top 100 of my class to the, I think, second or third from last in my class because of senior slump. I swear to God, I'm not making that up. I think we had a graduating class of 501 at Woodson High School in Fairfax, Virginia. And I graduated 498, something like that, because yay for me. I was not a fan of the high school.
Jody, I bet, was a good kid.
I graduated magna cum laude.
Of course you did.
I'm so jealous.
And that's after four different high schools. I changed schools constantly.
So you got a chance to start over again and erase the
My
board.
My GPA kept going up.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I don't. When it starts in September, the counting gets easier, but.
If only yeah,
I
could.
I had middling grades because I was like an undiagnosed ADD kid.
Oh, okay. That's probably what I was too. Because I've told the story.
You're gonna go with that?
I've told the story on the show a few times already. But I, you know, when I was in sixth grade, I was just I was drawing cartoons in my notebooks the whole time. Like when I was supposed mm-hmm. to be paying attention in class, I was just drawing pictures and daydreaming and doing stuff. And there was one time where the teacher actually stopped the class while I was drawing in one of my notebooks, and which I still have these notebooks with comic book characters in them. And my teacher stopped the class and said, okay, now we're all going to stop and we're going to watch Bobby draw in his notebook. And that's what they did. And there I was drawing away. I had no idea. The entire class was staring at me. My tongue's hanging out of my mouth. I'm drawing away with a stupid grin on my face, completely clueless as to what's happening around me. That's why I graduated 498 in my high school class. All right. So back to the real world here. Trump's poll numbers actually went up because of this whole go back to where you came from thing. Which shows it actually works. I mean, that's the only reason to bring it up. The reason it happens, the reason it's always happened, the reason the Southern strategy was invented initially in the 1960s was because it works. I mean, that's the horrible, horrible truth of this kind of language, this kind of racial hatred from people like Donald Trump. Except it used to be, as we were saying before, it used to be couched in things like forced busing and... you know, welfare, and you know, they it was code words, right? I mean, we have a audio clip of Lee Atwater talking about how we use code words now because you can't say N-word anymore. You have to use coded language, and that's exactly what Donald Trump is doing.
I feel like what's happened here is actually the cognitive slipping of the boomer generation that they can't remember that they're supposed to use the code words.
Yeah.
And it's just as they revert, and you know, because they really think they are the cosmos, that generation. You know, we invented everything, and like, that's kind of why I think that it would give a shit about the environment. I have never been able to quite put it together in that, like, why, how in the world could you be anti-environmental?
Yeah.
It's to me, this was early on, this is before I had encountered people like Michelle Malkin and realized that there was a, you know, buck to be made.
Michelle Malkin. Oh my God. What happened to Michelle Malkin? I'm going to write a book called What Happened to Michelle Malkin. Everyone's going to buy it. They're going to love it. No.
It's probably atrociously dull.
Yeah, it'd be horrible.
I think she just got tired.
She's just a horrible person. Just one of the most horrible people in the entire political discourse. She's got no shame whatsoever. None of these people.
Few things have ever entertained me, like the moment that she got confronted by Alex Jones out in front of the Treasury and the state Treasury in Denver at the Democrat. Do you remember that scene?
Actually, I don't know that I've actually. I don't know. I don't think I've seen that.
No.
Oh man. So okay. Speaking of creepy people, Jeffrey Epstein. The question is: Jeffrey Epstein this morning was denied bail, which is great fucking news. Of course, he should be denied bail. And good luck in prison, Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
My question now is Donald Trump going to pardon him?
I think that Bill Barr might just drop it. Remember, this is a federal case. This isn't a state case.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why I think we were all surprised when he was denied mm-hmm. bail this morning. Because mm-hmm. I thought for sure the prosecutors were going to go in and say, you know, we've decided we're not going to pursue that anymore. We're just going to... He's fine. We're not going to press mm-hmm. this issue. He's just let him go home and we'll put a bracelet on one of the ankle things on there and... No problem, because, you know, Bill Barr runs the show now, and that wouldn't have surprised me at all. But this actually did, because I was fully expecting that Bill Barr mm-hmm. was going to screw around with this, as he's screwing around with everything else, which is the other story of the day, with, you know, the release of these hush money payment documents.
Did they get them redacted this morning like they were supposed to?
Yeah. Yes. And... The question again comes up, just like when we saw the Mueller report. Why the fuck aren't any of these? I mean, Hope Hicks ought to be indicted for this.
Yep.
David Pecker needs to be David Pecker needs to be invited for this. I'm really sorry.
Without giggling, can you?
I'm sorry. I am a four-year-old. I cannot help it. His name is David Pecker.
Is he 69 years old now?
Well, you know, we also we discovered another character who has a funny name in all of this, and that's one of the fixers for Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, this guy George Horney. I think is
Horn.
Yes, we learned about George Horney last week. I think his name is pronounced Horney. Horney, Horaney. And it just looks like George Horney to me.
Horaney.
Yeah.
Horaney.
Horaney. I think that's it. But we're just going to call
there's
him
a
George
lot of
Horney.
People with that last name. There's George, there's Mark, there's Steve, there's Kyle, and there's Richard.
And there's Cubby and Annette. Yeah, it's like for a second there, you were looking through your magic mirror and you're saying, oh, I see
Romper Stomper Bumper Podcast.
I have George Horaney and Mark Horaney and little Stevie and Kyle and Richard.
So, we learned all kinds of new things about the panic that was circulating the Trump campaign in October of 2016 when they were afraid that Stormy Daniels was going to go public. But federal prosecutors in New York have ended their investigation into the Trump Organization's role in the hush money payments. This is, again, Bill Barr stepping in, screwing everything up. Mm-hmm. I wish we had at least one or two prosecutors who would step up before members of Congress and say, Bill Barr told us to stop doing this. And if that's not one of the questions they ask Robert Mueller about the Mueller investigation next week, they're making a huge mistake. One of the first questions that they need to ask Robert Mueller next week is, did Bill Barr tell you to prematurely shut down this investigation and rush out a report? If Robert Mueller doesn't answer that, I don't know what to say.
They won't ask him that. They're not going to ask him anything. And he's going to sit there and go, I refer you to what I said in my report. I see this coming.
Yeah.
Like, I just, that guy is, you know, lifelong Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him in charge of this investigation. And I feel like he did as much as he felt like he needed to do.
Yeah.
And it just.
Well, my question is whether or not Bill Barr is actually receiving a paycheck from the Trump reelection campaign, because that's he's acting as a political operative for Donald Trump. I mean, that's really what he's not attorney general. He's just political operative. He's the latest hack to surround Donald Trump. And so he's doing his very best to defend Donald Trump in any way possible. And it's just a matter of time before he steps into the Jeffrey Epstein thing. As soon as Donald Trump's name comes up in court proceedings, that's going to be that. Bill Barr is going to step in and wedge his giant Fred Flintstone head between Donald Trump and anything resembling justice. So,
do you think that Epstein has everything that he owns, planes, trains, automobiles, you know, islands, wired for sound and video, and that he's got stuff somewhere in a safety deposit box that the feds don't have yet?
I think so. I think there is copious videotape. I mean, I'd be shocked if there wasn't.
Do you think Russia has it?
Yeah. I mean, we have some of it now. I mean, we've got Donald Trump. This, and you know what?
And it's still fucking ugly. Like 20 whatever years ago, I just, like, how does he do that to clothes?
I know.
Like, how does he
do it to hair? My God.
I know.
The Trump mullet needs to become a thing. I mean, he was really flying the mullet flag at that Mar-a-Lago gathering with Jeffrey Epstein.
Hideous.
Yeah. And then he's got the painted on eyebrows. Already Donald Trump has small woodland creatures as eyebrows. But then for some reason around that period of time, after he split up with Ivana, he started like dyeing his eyebrows. So they were super dark. We've seen it. There was a talk show that he was on around that time. In fact, I think they were playing some of that on Rachel Maddow last night. And then there's this videotape from Mar-a-Lago that NBC uncovered. And he's got the dark, really dark eyebrows, which screamed out to me that he took like mascara or something on and dyed his eyebrows. So there was that. But I mean, that's obviously the trivial side things that we like to stick our face up against our computer screens and observe about Trump. But the main thing was, is that he was really schmoozing Jeffrey Epstein in this video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, laying it on thick, doing the full Trump. And by the way,
only one of those people was a billionaire.
The cocaine. Oh, my God. Donald Trump was basically like a mountain of cocaine wearing a suit in this video. So everyone I've talked to who has experienced cocaine either personally or been around it a lot said, oh my God, he's totally on cocaine. And it was unsolicited. Oh, yeah. It was like, that's he's coked up on something there. It's very, very obvious. And then he's telling Jeffrey Epstein, he's evaluating the women and whispering into Jeffrey Epstein's ear. And at one point, I don't think they have a lip reading transcript of what he says, but it's something, the word fucking is in there. You can clearly see that at one point. And I thought it kind of looked like he said the word pussy at another point. Probably. And then it cuts to Donald Trump. Excuse me. I get a little barfy when I think of this. Donald Trump dancing.
I saw that. Ugh.
With the
I didn't see this yet.
White man gross. Overbite and the fists, you know, dancing mm-hmm. with the side to side fist thing. And oh my God. And then he's groping women. I mean, it's actually Donald Trump coming really close to grabbing women by the pussy in this videotape. Uh-huh. He grabs someone's butt. He's got his arms around this other woman. And granted, I think he was single at the time, but this is a Jeffrey Epstein joint. This is a Jeffrey Epstein party at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump and what looks to be three dozen women. And so this is a peek into what we could probably assume happened in that party where there were 28 women, all underage, and just Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, and George Horney was also there. That was the one that one of the ones that George Horney organized. So just another video to look at and blanket every single Democratic campaign ad between now and November 3rd, 2020. If the Democrats do not weaponize this NBC News video in Mar-a-Lago from 1992, they are out of their blessed minds. They have got to put this in every commercial, every special interest group that's buying advertising to support Democrats need to put this in there. There at least has to be one shot of that. Donald Trump looking sweaty and creepy and coked up and hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. That has to happen because this case is going to be a thing right on through the election. Mm-hmm. This is going to continue to be a news story, and the more you can link Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein and the rape of children, the more that needs to happen. I mean, at the very least, something positive has got to come out of this monstrosity. Child rape. And that positive thing has got to be Donald Trump not winning re-election. If Donald Trump wins re-election, knowing what we know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've
if he
just
wins,
been able to justify everything. Go ahead, Jody. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I interrupted you, Mr. Ferguson.
Oh, after you. No, after you. No, go. I'm going to make a moderator call.
They haven't stopped short of any of it so far. They went right along with the pussy grabbing thing. It's like they just don't fully process things.
Yeah, because the presidency no longer is a platform for telegraphing
greatness.
American values and good things and greatness, exactly, leadership and things that people should admire and look up to and use as a role model. It's just, you know, fuck it, fuck everything, social media, we all need to build our platforms on social media, and we're going to do it by saying fuck you to the liberals, and we're going to make life miserable for the entire world by elevating this monster into the White House, knowing what he's all about. I mean, again, there's no mystery about Donald Trump. He didn't magically appear on the escalator in June of 2015. Everyone knew about Donald Trump. Everyone recognized what kind of person he was, and he is a loathsome human being. I mean, there is going to be a thing. I think I've mentioned this before, but I don't mind repeating it again. There's going to be a thing where they're going to have to put up some sort of security to keep people from urinating all over his grave.
And yeah.
I think he's going to end up with like an Osama bin Laden style burial at sea.
That would be the only thing to keep people. But then people will take boats out to the location and pee into the ocean. I mean, I will. They can go ahead and profile me because I'm going to be one of the first people to try it. Because look. It's not going to be like with George W. Bush, where everybody now is like, Bush, the good old days. No. We have to remember this monster for who he is. We have to make sure history remembers this fucking national tragedy of this presidency. And I intend to stay as healthy as long as possible so I can make sure that I do my little teeny tiny part to keep this awfulness reflected in history books. We can't let that get rehabilitated. And I know, I think David Frum tweeted yesterday, he said, you know, it's only a matter of time before, you know, when Donald Trump leaves office, before every Republican goes, what just happened? What was that? Was there a president just now? Was there a weird looking Oompa Loompa guy came along and said, they said crazy things on Twitter. I don't have any recollection of that. Did I support that? I don't think I supported that. That's going to be every congressional Republican.
It's just like the war in Iraq.
What's that?
You know, when it was time to run for re-election in 2006, 2008, 2012, all the Republicans were just like, I never really supported that. What war?
Yeah.
What massive humanitarian crisis as the entire nation of Syria comes apart, it seems.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
I have a question. For his rubes, though. I do have a question for Donald Trump's rubes.
Yeah.
Since he's got four anchor baby children, his first three his most recent, those are anchor babies.
That's right.
So they're okay with that, right?
In fact, you know, Ilhan Omar has been an American citizen for longer than Melania Trump has been.
Exactly.
And so, you know, my question for Melania is, if you don't think we're already best,
be best,
then go back where you came from, Melania. Why are you criticizing us for not being best?
Be best.
Somebody just wrote that actually. So send them home. And Melania goes, we can do that. I can go back.
Wait, you have to do it in the Natasha voice, though. We can do that. I can go back.
That's right. Oh, shit. Well, you know, as if all of this wasn't bad enough,
There are still children in cages at the border.
There are still children in cages at the border. And there's also Senator Rand Paul.
Fuck you!
Rand Paul blocked the renewal of the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund.
Yeah.
He blocked it. This fucking poodle-haired ghoul. This disgusting, repulsive human being. I mean, my God. You know what? I'm not going to do it justice. I'm going to hand this over now to Mr. Jon Stewart, who on Fox News Channel rightfully lit into Rand Paul for being the bag of dicks that he is. Here's Jon Stewart with Brett Baer. I believe this was yesterday.
Pardon me if I'm not impressed in any way by Rand Paul's fiscal responsibility virtue signaling. Rand Paul presented tissue paper avoidance of the $1.5 trillion tax cut that added hundreds of billions of dollars to our deficit. And now he stands up at the last minute after 15 years of blood, sweat, and tears from the 9/11 community to say that it's all over now. Now we're going to balance the budget on the backs of the 9/11 first responder community. Brett, this is about what kind of society do we have. At some point, we have to stand up for the people who have always stood up for us.
Yes.
And at this moment in time, maybe cannot stand up for themselves due to their illnesses and their injuries. And what Rand Paul did today on the Senate was outrageous. He is a guy that put us in hundreds of billions of dollars of debt. He was the 51st vote on that cut. And now he's going to tell us that $1 billion a year over 10 years is just too much for us to handle. You know, there's some things that they have no trouble putting on the credit card. But somehow when it comes to the 9/11 first responder community, the cops, the firefighters, the construction workers, the volunteers, the survivors, all of a sudden, man, we got to go through this. This program has already been running for 5 years. No fraud. It was testified when we went in front of Congress. The special paymaster testified. No fraud, no waste, no abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Lee, we met in his office 5 years ago. He looked us in the eye. He looked Ray Pfeiffer in the eye, who unfortunately is no longer with us, and said he was going to look into it. He is the reason that we've had to go back again for this new one, and now he wants to put another cap on it that's going to make John Feel and all these other tenacious yet ill first responders drag themselves back to Washington to put their hats in their hands and beg for something that this country should have done 14 years ago.
You know, we asked.
It's an abomination.
Yep, it is an abomination. There should be no reason that in this country. That last part, I think, was especially salient. In this country, we should not have to go before Congress and make a case for providing relief to the heroes of one of the most tragic days in American history. One of the bloodiest days in American history. One of the
Grandpa,
darkest days.
You know, he's not entirely convinced that it wasn't all done with holograms.
God.
I don't know who he should. I'm looking into it. He's watching YouTube videos right now.
Yeah.
How 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah. I mean, Rand Paul made the fiscal excuse, like, oh, well, we're already spending all kinds of money with his stupid voice. And
it's a stupid frat voice. But I mean,
I can't help but to think that this is all part of the new cruelty. We can do whatever the fuck we want and it won't matter because those weirdos in the red hats are going to applaud for us anyway. They're going to vote for us anyway. So fuck it. I there isn't even that justification. I mean, I thought this was like universal. Like we all appreciate and respect the 9/11 first responders. We all appreciate and respect the volunteers who ran toward the rubble and tried to pull bodies out and tried to clear out that space. Tried to rescue people who were trapped under all that shit. And, you know,
But the thing you have to bear in mind about Rand Paul is that he's just shit stupid.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I really like maybe ate a whole sheet of acid, water acid in college, stupid. But
yeah,
I mean,
true.
He really is like, he's like the son of a complete wackadoodle racist, you know, obstetrician turned world bank polemicist, Bilderberg. You know, I mean, his dad is Ron Paul.
Yeah.
And he's like a legacy hire from that.
Yep.
You know, so he's already diminished from already stupid, crazy person. I mean, he's a head full of dryer lint.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that maybe explains the hair.
Here's my political explanation for what happened yesterday. I think Mitch McConnell put him up to it because Mitch McConnell himself can't block the vote. Mitch McConnell has vowed not to take up any bill that comes out of the House of Representatives. And if he voted on this one, he would have to backpedal on that. But he's up for re-election in 2020, Mitch McConnell. And so he can't come out and say, we're not going to vote on this. I'm just not going to bring it up because it's a Democrat bill. And I said no to all the Democrat bills. And by the way, I'm going to have sex with this here crowd.
Ah, there's the sexy turtle. Yay. I was waiting.
I'm gonna have sex with this here croc, he said. That was my line. Jesus. But in seriousness, this had everything to do with Mitch McConnell making Rand Paul into his human shield because I don't think Rand Paul's up for re-election next year. Is he? I don't think he is. He can't possibly
be. He may not be. Yeah, if McConnell is, then he isn't.
Yeah.
If you ever want to laugh, just go to YouTube and put in Rand Paul Wikipedia. Because do you remember the thing where he was giving speeches that his interns handed him that were just, you know, complete cut and like copy and paste from Wikipedia?
Oh, yeah.
And he's giving the speech with all this earnestness and you're right, you know, and it's just like totally, I think we should celebrate his birthday each year by like wearing like British barrister wigs.
Yeah.
And reading aloud from Wikipedia as if we're giving a political speech. You know, he really is a gift that keeps on giving.
I'm going to assume that he was up for re-election in 2016. Was it 2018?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. But regardless,
I don't think he would be up at the same time as McConnell because they're from the same state.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. Duh. That's right. They're both from Kentucky. So it makes it even more logical that Mitch McConnell will go to Rand Paul and say, well, now you do the dirty work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Rand Paul does the dirty work. And everyone's going to forget by the time Rand Paul's up for re-election that he fucked over dozens and dozens and dozens of 9/11 heroes. Jesus Christ, these people. You know what I think you ought to do? Is you take this out on the people who are pulling the strings. And Rand Paul isn't pulling the strings. He's one of the guys on the end of the strings. Mitch McConnell in 2020. You fucking annihilate this guy at the ballot box. Same with Donald Trump. Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell are running the Republican Party right now, and they have to be held responsible for what Rand Paul and what the Republican Party has done to the 9/11 victims. Because I can't imagine Mitch McConnell would allow this block to occur unless Mitch McConnell wanted the block to occur. He is the leader of the Senate Republicans, and he has the power to tell Rand Paul to sit the fuck down, especially since they're both, as you said, from the Kentucky delegation. Oh, God. Unbelievable. By the way, before we wrap up the show, a little bit more of bad news while we're on this. 51%,
oh, God. Okay.
51% of voters supported the deportation raids. by ICE, compared with 35% of voters who oppose those efforts. So, you know, I see shit like that. I just wonder, are we the ones who are out of touch? Did we mistake the United States for being a better country than this? And everyone else is the ones who are just like, well, this is what America's always been about. 51% are okay with Trump's Gestapo going around and raiding people's homes and sending them off to... I mean, there was a story that Rachel covered last night about where an NPR reporter was there as they separated these little kids from their parents, made them choose, made a 3-year-old girl choose between which parent they wanted to go with. And I wonder if that's okay. That's the American way. And we're just all stupid about it. As I think about that, and I don't think we are, but there it is anyway. Oh, and Trump has rolled back programs that detect WMD. So that's great news. We're not tracking WMD anymore. What could possibly? Oh,
and they've scaled back testing nuclear facilities.
Oh, that's right. There's that too. I heard that on the Stephanie Miller show this morning. They're not going to be doing inspections of nuclear power plants.
Oh, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And I live very close to one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there are a bunch around here, too.
I live upwind from one, fortunately.
I mean, my mother lives on a lake that is designed to, you know, be the water supply for a nuclear power plant. And there are a whole bunch of them right up there on the other side of the state line up in Pennsylvania. There's like Limerick is up there and Three Mile Island is up there, all within short driving distance of my house. Yay for us. But now
there's a line from Chernobyl. Leonov, the air is glowing.
You know, honestly, we have a Patreon subscriber who is an expert at nuclear power plants. And he's been making a pretty strong case for the safety precautions at these, at least the American power plants. And as I said, it's convincing when I hear it all laid out. Like, these are all the redundancies that they have in place to prevent a Chernobyl-style disaster here. And so maybe your discomfort with the power is a little bit misplaced. And so I always throw that in there because, you know, there is a whole series of safety precautions, but I think there needs to be because of the catastrophic thing. It's like I still stand by what I've said.
Never underestimate. Go ahead.
I just standing by what I said, which is that nuclear power is safe as hell until it's not, until it's apocalyptic.
Exactly. Right.
So
never underestimate humanity's capacity to be mediocre and fail at things in huge numbers.
Like, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we have the post-mortem show coming up. We're going to wrap up everything we have to say before my week off next week. So stand by for that. That's at our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. It's as easy to remember as that. If you're at BobSeska.com right now, just click the all caps Patreon link beneath my face at the top of the page. Meanwhile, you can listen to Jody Hamilton's podcast. It's called From the Bunker. You can listen to that at sexyliberal.com. Also at from-the-bunker.com. And T-Rex can be found at patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Please support all of your favorite podcasts, whether it's David's or mine or Jody's or whoever. All right, folks. We'll see you in a week from Tuesday. We're doing it. By the way, we're doing an after party tomorrow. There is an after party, but most people listening to the free show aren't necessarily subscribed to the after party. So goodbye to all the free people. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.